Welcome back. In this Ableton Live 12 sound design lesson, we're making a vintage style string pad using only stock packs and stock devices, and we're doing it in a drum and bass context. So this isn't pretty pad in a vacuum. This is a pad that actually survives a 174 BPM break, stays out of the sub, and still feels wide, warm, and a little bit degraded in that classic cinematic but rave way. By the end, you'll have one core pad sound plus two flavors. A deep liquid, atmospheric version, and a darker, heavier, more mid-forward version. And I'll show you a simple way to arrange and automate it so it works through intro, breakdown, and drop without washing out your snare. Alright, let's set the scene. First, set your tempo to 174 BPM. Now create three MIDI tracks, one called PAD strings, a second called PAD resample or texture. This one is optional, but it's a secret weapon later. And a third called sidechain key. If you already have drums and bass in your project, perfect. Keep them looping while you design. That's honestly one of the biggest beginner upgrades. You stop guessing, and you start making mix decisions in real time. Now, step 1. Choose your sound source. You've got two solid routes, both stock. Option A is sample-based. Simpler or sampler with a sustained string ensemble sample from your stock packs. In the browser, go into Packs and look for anything in the Orchestra, Strings, or Cinematic categories. Names vary depending on what you installed, but you're looking for sustained ensemble-type notes, not short stabs. Drag that into Sampler or Simpler on your PAD track. Now set a few starting points so it behaves like a pad instead of a raw sample. Set voices to around 8 to 12 so chords don't choke. Turn on a low-pass filter, LP24. Bring the cutoff to about 3.5 kHz as a starting point. A little resonance is good, like 0.2 to 0.35. We're not trying to whistle, just add a touch of character. If there's a drive control, a tiny bit helps. Now the amp envelope. This is where string pad starts to feel like a string pad. Attack, somewhere between 30 and 80 milliseconds. Just enough to avoid clicking and to feel like a bow, not a key press. Decay, about 2 seconds. Sustain, slightly down, maybe minus 6 to minus 12 dB. Depending on the sample. Release. Long. Try 2.5 to 6 seconds. Drum and bass is fast, but pads need tails to glue sections together. Option B is synth-based. Wave-eatable. It won't sound like literal orchestral strings, but it absolutely nails the role of vintage pads in DNB, and you get more control. Drop wave-eatable onto the PAD track. Start simple. Oscillator 1 on a sawish wave-eatable. Oscillator 2 on something similar, but slightly different, and to tune it a touch. Turn on unison. Classic mode is a good vibe. Set voices to 4 to 8. Amount around 30 to 60%. Then add a low-pass filter, LP24 again, and set the cutoff somewhere around 2 to 4 kHz. Resonance around 10 to 20%. For the amp envelope, aim for an attack around 40 milliseconds and a release around 4 seconds. That's a great place like a pad but doesn't smear forever starting point. Now give it movement. Add an LFO to the filter cutoff. Very small amount. Rate should be slow, like 0.08 to 0.15 Hz. Think evolving over bars, not wobbling every beat. Quick coaching note here. Dial your movement at low monitoring volume. It's a weird trick, but it works. If the pad still feels alive when quiet, you've nailed tasteful modulation. If it only feels exciting when loud, you might be drifting into seasick territory. Cool. Step 2. Write a progression that works under rolling DNB. A classic 2-bar minor move is D minor to B flat, and optionally a C for lift. So bar 1. D minor. Notes D, F, A. Bar 2. B flat. Notes B, B, D, F. And if you want a little turn the page energy, add a C chord as a quick push back into the loop. Now, keep your chord roots mostly in the mid-range. A good target is to have the root around D2 to D3, depending on where your bass lives. Your sub and your pad should not be fighting for the same real estate. Use inversions to keep it smooth. For example, instead of jumping to a low BB, voice BB is D, F, BB. That gives you that string section glide where the harmony changes, but it doesn't feel like a big chunky jump. Let the chords be long, 1 to 2 bars, and even overlap them slightly. That overlap is glue. It makes the pad feel like it's breathing, not like it's stepping from chord to chord. Now step 3. Make it vintage. The vibe is warble plus width plus gentle dirt, but still controlled enough to sit in a DNB mix. Here's the stock device chain we're going to build on the pad track, in this order. EQ8, chorus ensemble, optional shifter for micro to tune, saturator, hybrid reverb, auto filter for slow motion, and then compressor for sidechain. Let's style them. First, EQ8. We carve space before we chase beauty. In drum and bass, this matters a lot. Put a high-pass filter on the pad. Use a 24 dB slope. Dart around 180 Hz, and then adjust. Anywhere from 150 to 250 Hz is normal. The goal is simple. The pad should not carry the low end. Your kick and sub own that. If the pad feels boxy or honky, sweep around 300 to 600 Hz and try a gentle cut, like 2 to 4 dB. With a moderate Q around 1.2, if it's getting in the way of hats or snare brightness, try a gentle high shelf down above 8 to 10 kHz. Subtle. We're not making it dull, we're making it sit. Next, chorus ensemble. This is instant vintage width. Set the mode to ensemble if you have it. Amount around 25 to 45%. Rate slow, 0.2 to 0.6 Hz. Mix around 20 to 35%. You want motion, not dizziness. If you feel like the pitch is swimming, back off the mix or slow the rate. Optional next. Shifter. This is your Tapish Micro Detune. Set it to pitch mode. Keep it tiny. Try minus 3 cents and keep the mix low. If you get fancy later, you can do parallel detune with plus and minus. But as a beginner, keep it simple and safe. Important teacher note. Detune and chorus can collapse in mono. So after you've got width happening, do a quick mono check. If you don't want to set up anything fancy, just drop a utility at the end temporarily and hit mono. If the pad disappears or gets hollow, reduce chorus mix or detune. Next, saturator. This is how the pad stays audible without you turning it up and masking the drums. Choose soft sine or analog clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip if it spikes. And then compensate output so you're not tricking yourself with louder equals better. Try to keep the level roughly consistent as you toggle it on and off. Now hybrid reverb. This can get huge fast, so we're going to be disciplined. Pick a plate or chamber style. Decay, 2 to 4.5 seconds. Pre-delay, 15 to 30 milliseconds. That pre-delay helps the pad stay up front while the tail sits behind it. Set the low cut in the reverb to 250 to 400 Hz. So the space doesn't smear the low mids. High cut around 6 to 9 kHz to keep it dark and vintage. Mix around 10 to 25%. Indeed NB, your drums are too fast and too important to be swimming in 70% wet reverb. Pro workflow tip. Consider putting reverb on a return track as well, especially later for breakdowns. That way you can automate sends for big moments without changing your core drop tone. Next, auto filter. This is subtle movement that makes the pad feel alive over long phrases. Set it to low pass. Cut off somewhere around 2 to 6 kHz, depending on how bright your source is. Turn on the LFO for gentle drift. Rate, 0.05 to 0.12 Hz. Amount, tiny. You should feel it more than hear it. And here's a nice alternative if LFOs make you nervous. Instead of using LFO, automate the cutoff with small ramps every 8 or 16 bars. It feels intentional and produced, and it avoids that random wobble. Now step 4, sidechain. This is where your pad stops fighting your groove and starts breathing with it. Add a compressor at the end of the chain. Turn on sidechain. For input, choose your kick. Or, if you're using a break and the kick pattern is messy, use the sidechain key track and put a Ghost 4 on the floor kick on it. Keep it muted or turned down. It's just a trigger. Darting settings. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 2 to 10 milliseconds. Release 80 to 160 milliseconds. You want it to recover in time with the bounce at 174. Now bring the threshold down until you see around 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. Coaching note, sidechain doesn't have to be obvious. Even 1 to 3 dB can be enough for the pad to feel like it's tucked into the groove, especially if your chord changes are already giving motion. Now step 5, arrange it like D&B, not like ambient. Pads in drum and bass usually work in sections. They set mood in intros and breakdowns, then they tighten up in the drop so the drums hit hard. Try this basic structure. Intro, 16 bars, darker filter, more reverb, and either no sidechain or very light sidechain. Drop, 32 bars, tighter EQ, stronger sidechain, less reverb. Breakdown, 16 bars, open the filter, automate the reverb send up. Second drop, introduce a variation. Change an inversion or add one higher harmony note very quietly. If you're wondering what to automate first, here are three targets that basically always work. Filter cutoff, reverb send or reverb mix, chorus mix amount, more in breakdowns, less in drops. Now step 6, optional but very DNB, make a texture layer by resampling. Freeze and flatten the pad, or record it to audio on that PAD resample track. On the audio layer, at a very light redux, just a tiny downsample or bit reduction. Don't destroy it. Then EQ 8 and high pass higher than before, like 300 to 500 Hz. Then hybrid reverb with a bigger decay and wetter mix than your main pad. Blend this layer quietly underneath. When you mute it, you should miss it, but you shouldn't really hear it as a separate part. That's the sweet spot. Haze and air without mud. Alright, let's talk common mistakes so you can avoid the stuff that makes pads feel amateur in DNB. Mistake 1. Leaving low end in the pad. If your pad has meaningful energy below about 150 to 250 Hz, it will fight the sub and kick. Period. Mistake 2. Too much reverb in the drop. Long tails smear snare impact. Mistake 3. No side chain. Your drums will feel weaker even if they're loud. Mistake 4. Overwidening. Chorus and attune can sound amazing in stereo and then vanish in mono. Use utility width as a safety rail. Mistake 5. Chords too dense. Big six-note voicings sound impressive alone and cluttered in a mix. Triads are your friend, with an occasional color note. Now, two fast variations. For deep liquid, atmospheric pad, keep it smooth and wide. A slightly lower saturation drive, a bit more chorus mix, and a slightly longer, darker reverb. Keep the side chain moderate so it breathes but stays lush. For a darker, heavier pad, make it more mid-forward, high pass a little higher, like 200 to 300 Hz, and add gentle saturation so it speaks in the mids without needing volume. Add tension by sneaking in a very quiet note, a semitone above the root, up an octave. Keep it low level. It's not a melody, it's an ease. And consider shorter, darker reverb with a high cut around 5 to 7 kHz. If you want extra presence that translates on small speakers, duplicate the pad and make a mono grit layer. Put utility on the duplicate and set width to 0, fully mono. Push saturator harder on that mono layer. Blend it in quietly. The center becomes solid without turning your stereo field into chaos. Now a quick mini practice to lock it in. Set up your pad with either sampler or wavy-table. Write a 2-bar D minor progression and loop it. Build this simplified chain. EQ 8, chorus ensemble, saturator, hybrid reverb, compressor with sidechain. Then due to automation passes, for the breakdown, open the filter and increase reverb. For the drop, reduce reverb and increase sidechain depth. Export a 16-bar clip, 8 bars intro vibe, 8 bars drop tightness. Your goal is simple. When the drop hits, the pad should feel supportive and controlled, not washy. This audio version is shortened for playback.